Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of August, recording at 9:48 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, mixed. Hong Kong up 1.5%, as was the Nikkei. Australia up... China had a very good day. Some of the ASEAN markets, however, were quite weak. As a matter of fact, most of Asia's smaller markets were weaker. Now, in Europe, we closed with declines across the boards. UK FTSE down 1.44%. DAX probably had the biggest drop, 1.71%. And Wall Street, well, you don't get too many quiet days these days. The market was soft pre-market, then opened with some decent gains following the announcement that Warren Buffett had invested $5 billion in a sort of a complex deal with Bank of America. Then that faded after an hour or so and closed around the low of the day, down 1.5% for the Dow and the S&P, and nearly 2% for the NASDAQ composite. Others of the Americas markets closed to the downside. Brazil, 1.5% as well. Long-dated government bond prices steadied a little bit against that background. The long bond, 30-year long bond, is up half a point. The feature, that is up half a point as I speak. U.S. dollar was a little steadier here against most currencies. I think that's a turnaround for some easing earlier in the day. And precious metals, well, not a dull day in that sector either. We had gold dip down to 1704, and then it closed, well, it's near the highs of the day. It's currently at 1770 and 70 cents. So that's up 11.38 on the day, but $66 off the low. And silver, similarly, silver dipped down to 38.81 and closed at 41.14. Or that's where it's trading, sorry, after hours. Platinum also up, platinum a little bit easier, currently 18.21. Crude oil quieter, although a fraction easier, below 85 on WTI, but the Brent is above $110. In the grain and bean complex, corn and wheat. No, I got that wrong. Wheat was firm. The others were just about unchanged. And sugar, a little bit weaker here today. The industrial metals were all firmer. Good gain in copper up to 410.5. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, still a lot of nervousness regarding stock markets, most of which are still ranging. The ASEAN sector seems to be catching some late selling. It is pretty much inevitable as investors become more cautious that some money would get pulled out of those, just in case they got the sort of downdrafts that we have seen pretty well everywhere else. Now, valuations are much improved following a sell of the sell-off, but we have to be a little bit careful about whose valuations we're actually talking about. In Asia, growth isn't going to come down all that much, and therefore, I have a lot more confidence in some of the valuations that I see there. Now, in the USA and in Europe, as far as the PERs are concerned, price earnings ratios, I don't trust those because I maintain that earnings estimates are much too high under the circumstances, and the risk of recession is much too high to have confidence in those earnings estimates. And if the U.S. were to slide into a clear recession, defined, of course, as two consecutive quarters of minus GDP, then I think the U.S. stock market would look either not cheap, but it could even be marginally expensive, depending on how big the reaction actually is. So these are problems that the market is wrestling with in here, that investors are wrestling with, I should say, and understandably so. Now we've got Bernanke speaking tomorrow from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and in this instance, less is more, in my view. And I think also, in other words, I'd be quite happy if he didn't say very much at all. Just say that they've, watching the situation, done enough and are optimistic that the economy can recover. But the less he says, the better, actually. He could just say, no cause to change policy. Because I think he does have to be careful about the law of unintended consequences. For instance, when he announced that U.S. interest rate, that he was going to keep U.S. interest rates at their current historically low levels until the middle of 2013, if necessary. I think in their current mood, or in their recent mood, because that was last month, and in their nervous mood at the time, let me get it right, nervous mood at the time, because we'd been in this sort of ranging and gradually lower corrective phase for some months, and Wall Street had started to come off its range highs in July before the meltdown. But once Bernanke's comments were out, I think people took that as, and interpreted that, rightly or wrongly, as an indication that things were much worse than he had anticipated. I think Bernanke made the announcement because he hoped that that would lend some stability, and it had the opposite effect. As a consequence, gold soared, and it was the fear side of gold. Gold is a sort of a fear and love story. You know, there are people who fear all sorts of horrific developments in other aspects of the world, so they retreat to gold, and then there are the people who just love gold and just want to have it, have more of it when they can. And so it was the fear side driving gold into that upward acceleration. And to also bear out my contention that investors concluded that things must be much worse. The stock market tanked, and what we also saw was that banks leveraged up to play the yield curve even further, borrowing from the Fed and putting the money into long-dated issues, so that bond prices soared and bond yields plummeted. And on seeing the plummeting yields and the weak stock market and runaway gold prices, a number of people concluded, oh my goodness, we're going the Japan route or worse, or whatever. So, not at all the message that Bernanke was trying to convey, I'm quite quite convinced. And so again, beware of the law of unintended consequences. Okay, so where do we go from here? Well, Owen's done a superb outline of parameters here regarding stock markets as sort of a template for what they need to do to either reaffirm the bear trend or to indicate that perhaps it's over and demand is getting the upper hand. I would be very cautious in here. I am very cautious in here myself. I'm not putting any new money in the market yet, although I like some of the yields that I see. They're very tempting. I like fuller money themes. You might have seen that BHP Billiton bumped up its dividend earlier in the week. It's nearly 3%. And I consider that a growth stock rather than a cyclical stock. I'm not worried about fuller money themes in the long term. They may underperform, and that everything is sort of underperforming, or they may just mess around here for a while longer. But if we do get the further sell-off, and that's probably better than 50-50 in terms of odds, then that would be create even more tempting buying opportunities. Warren Buffett's move for the Bank of America, or his injection, let me rephrase that, his injection of $5 billion into Bank of America via preference shares and I think some warrants, may encourage value investors, even though it didn't. The initial support the market received soon dissipated, and one of the reasons for that is Buffett tends to be early on a number of his moves. But nonetheless, I think a number of value investors will consider his deal, and it's not a deal that most investors could arrange. But they may conclude from that things aren't quite so bad after all, which is Buffett's view, and it may lend a little bit of psychological support to the market over the medium term. I think it probably will. As a catalyst, I think it's something that's more likely to cushion downside than Bernanke's signal. Also, anything the Fed does is going to be very controversial in the U.S. in this rather poisonous political environment that we have. Okay, so cautious on those, cautious regarding those stock markets. I still think long-dated government bond yields are too low, and they have steadied in here, but is it just a technical rally? It could be more, in my opinion, but I'm biased. I've got some short positions there. Precious metals, very interesting here. My silver purchase earlier in the week, which was not well timed, I had a much better timed one yesterday, and I doubled up on the position, but I mistakenly bought the September contract the first time. That's been rolled forward here today. I'm happy to hold those two units of silver that I have. Could conceivably add to that. Gold's action was, as I mentioned, good here today. We've seen a decline of what, about $210 off the highs. Well, that certainly indicates that we have a peak, as we've been saying for the last couple of days. We have a peak of at least near-term significance for gold following that downside key day reversal. But I think that and while it could easily range a bit lower, I think we're going to see, having seen it down to 1700, I think we'll mostly see sort of a ranging consolidation and correct that overbought condition and move a little bit closer to the rising 200-day moving average. The healthiest thing gold could do technically would be just to go sideways now for with a slight downward bias for the next next few weeks. That would set it up for a decent run. And if we get that decent run, as I expect, later on this year and in first quarter of next year, I wouldn't be surprised if silver and platinum take over the running, the main running. I think they would all go up, but the history of these precious metals over the last decade is that when they get an upward acceleration, it tends to be a movable feast. They don't all do it, but some do it more than others. Platinum did, a few years ago, and it hasn't been the same since. It's underperformed since. And it's actually still below that earlier high. Silver dominated the year's early trading until its blowout at $50, and then gold took over. So, it's really pass the parcel here in terms of which one's going to accelerate within its overall upward trend. It could be palladium, but I don't like the downward dynamics within that trading range, as I've mentioned before. So my hunch is that it's silver or platinum or both in here, and they're probably both buys on setbacks. And gold, well, I don't think the long-term investors in unleveraged bullion positions, I don't think they need to worry too much about what's actually taken place. And if one was going to lighten the time to do it is when it's accelerating higher, not after it's seen a couple of $100 reaction. And incidentally, Owen reminded me this morning, I was out for much of the day, but he reminded me that this afternoon, rather, that the CME did raise the margin requirement on gold yesterday. So that was another factor contributing to yesterday's weakness. And I think that's a responsible move by the CME. Okay. I think that's pretty much it on yet another volatile day in the markets. Now, I will be taking a holiday next week. Monday is a bank holiday here in the UK, so Fuller Money will be closed, but I'll take a few days off and be back on the 6th of September. That's a Tuesday. I think it's a Wednesday. And let me just check that. That's a Tuesday. And Mrs. Fuller and I will do some cycling. All the best.